Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace and Brandon Johns.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Throws it, fakes the spike in the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap.
It's Optional. Hour number two. Nick Bomberg joins us at 2:15. Fun interview with Christopher Smith.
No, excuse me.
Dang.
Sorry. I tried to force down some lunch.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. You could have took a segment off and ate lunch.
No,
dang.
No. The show must go on. I know that. I'm a quick eater.
I can smell it. I know what it was.
And it's making my eyes and my...
Damn, man.
My eyes water. So I had some lunch. Sorry to interrupt your lead back here.
No, you're good.
With some peppers, some onions.
It smells like it.
Yeah, and I really ate it kind of fast, and now, like, the acid.
You're gone for, like, 2 minutes. Good Lord.
It was quick, boy. It was quick, wasn't it? Super fast. Super
good
fast,
Lord.
Trey.
Reservations
super
in the bathroom
fast.
Here in about 15 super minutes
fast.
For you.
No. It's clean. It's healthy. It's good.
I know that.
But the spice, it kind of got me, choked me up there. I couldn't hold that back.
Hell, I don't even remember what I was talking about.
I'm about to get Nick's coming on. I'm about to get some water.
I know. That's fantastic. Getting into this weekend and how things continue to play out on a national level, and like we were talking about, Nick Bromberg will join us at 2:15. We'll talk about college football and we'll talk about NASCAR a little bit. There's a case going on in Washington with Kurt Busch's former girlfriend,
really?
Who turned out Kurt Busch said that she was a CIA assassin. Back when he got suspended back in 2015, and she's actually on trial today, which is I think some people would remember it. Patricia Driscoll was her name, and she was absolutely I don't want to be mean, but bonkers.
Was she?
Yeah, she said she was CIA. She said her and Kurt Bruce were at a hotel in Vegas, and she, like, went out in the middle of the night to the desert and killed somebody in Mexico.
Whoa.
Yeah, but the trial's going on right now in Washington, D.C. Chance. Somebody said, Chance, when is Trey Wallace going to get an intro with your name? Why the hell are you blaming it on me?
Trey.
Foster Corley.
Yeah, Trey.
Why the hell are you blaming
it on me?
Damn it,
Trey.
It's not my fault.
Damn it, Trey.
Get off my case. I can come in and just say with Trey Wallace and Chance and Brandon. I mean,
no, we actually have a new intro.
Thank you.
And I have heard it, and it is being edited.
It's in the works.
Yeah.
By DJ BJ over there. Everything is all good. Thanks, Foster, though. I like
No, get it. That's
Foster.
Bold.
Foster came at you hard.
I appreciate it. That's just mean. Like, get off of me. It ain't my fault.
Trey's having
it's
a good day, Foster.
It's a man's game, Trey. You got to be tough in the paint.
No, I am tough, but I got other stuff going on here.
This is chess, not checkers, Trey.
Yeah, I'm about to show you some checkers. So, all right. I just saw a video of a bunch of Titans fans in London. Would you? It might be a tough question to answer.
Man, these peppers are really still eating me.
I know. I can tell. It's coming off your breath.
Ooh,
the peppers.
Boy.
It smells like a. Woo! Smells like fajita on the table in here.
Woo! Chipotles, jalapenos.
Oh, God.
I could go for some fajitas right now. That sounds pretty good.
See, if I'd have walked through the hallway of the station with them, everybody would have instantly wanted fajitas. They weren't fajitas, though, but, like, there's a lot of peppers.
I can tell.
This has never happened to me.
Maybe you should go to Corner 16 after this and wash it down with a beer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wash it down with a beer afterwards. It'll help out.
Yeah,
definitely
there you
help
go.
Out.
Nice plug there. That was an easy plug. But would you save up your hard-earned money to go watch the Tennessee Titans play in London? Like, if your NFL team was playing in London, would you spend a few thousand dollars, is it an attraction to you? Is it a...
No.
Here's another reference.
I just want to go to London just to go to London. I don't want to go to London to watch football. I might go watch a soccer match. Or something like that. Maybe a Chelsea.
If UT played in London, I'd go.
That'd be different.
Yeah. I don't really have an NFL team, though, so... Not anyone I'd travel across an ocean for.
I wouldn't go watch the Saints play overseas. Like, I don't care that much. Saints are my team, but I wouldn't go watch them play overseas.
Yeah, I'm not watching NFL overseas. I'm going to London just to go to London and have fun.
Exactly. There's a lot of fans going. Titans. Look, it's crazy. The Titans can't fill up their own stadium Nashville, but they want to go to London to watch
just because my football team or if my team was Titans, like, hey, destination trip because the Titans are finally going to London. I want to go to London, like... That's just already being on your mind. I don't know. This is
a lot of fans are going because they got direct flights from Nashville to London now.
They do have the direct flights.
That's my producer over there coming with the information. That is true.
And I don't want to waste one of my days watching football while I'm in London. I'm sorry. Like that's
London's so cool. Been there. Yeah, it's a very cool. I wouldn't go over there to watch a product that. Well, I was in my mind. I was thinking.
What was that?
I was
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to just let that slide past.
It was like a thinking moment. It was like, okay. I wouldn't want to waste one of my days, like you said, in London, doing something that I could do back in the States.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't care that it's played at Wembley or wherever. Right. Like, going to see the Titans play at Wembley. The Titans suck right now.
Right.
So there's not a, okay, I'm going to go watch my horrible team play at Wembley. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yes.
Like if there's an SEC game, all right, we're playing.
That's what I'm saying. Like maybe a college game.
LSU in Frankfurt, Germany. Okay, I'm down. I'm going.
I would rather watch a Premier League soccer game in Wembley Stadium if I went to visit London as opposed to the Titans. Like NFL, watch an NFL Red Zone. Get all you need.
No, I agree. The people are coming to your defense about this intro thing.
Yeah, dude. Thanks, Adam. Also, Chip, be careful with the onions and peppers. You're right, Chip. That was the worst part of probably my day right there. I just had a really good day coming
Flustered
in here.
Flustered Trey is the best Trey.
I woke up early, went to the gym, started the day right, had everything packed up early, good to go. Got to hang out with a little somebody, did a little something.
Your dog?
No, not my dog. Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Dang, Trey. I did hang out with my dog this morning, though.
What kind of dog you got?
She is a Brittany Spaniel. No, I got to hang out with my little lady friend. Come in here. I feel like it was a good day. I had a little date today, and then I come in here and choke on peppers on air.
God, there's so many ways I could have gone at that. But I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky. God, you're lucky.
Am I setting myself up?
You were.
I had a good day.
That's okay.
Can't.
No, it is. Hell, the day just started. We're just getting going here. Alabama fans.
Adam's
will
coming
start
to my defense. Foster.
Yeah, what the hell? Is Adam Z.
Trey, get on the intro, as the kids are saying out there.
Okay, well.
You're slacking.
I just love how none of this is directed towards me.
Yeah, how's this not directed producer. The producer of the show? Like, that's his job.
Hey, I'm only as good as the tools given to me, which is why I had some technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties today.
Alabama fans will start infiltrating Knoxville starting today.
Alabama.
The RVers. If you go near campus, World's Fair, you'll see the RVers with their Alabama flags and everything flying. They're in town.
There's
already been by there.
Nothing more quintessential Alabama than RVers.
Yeah, but they're nice RVs.
Yeah.
They're not, no, okay. So some of them are like going to Talladega, but a lot of them are very expensive RVs. You know, these are people that retire and they travel around to watch their college football team. Tennessee had a bunch in Auburn last weekend. Surprised the heck out of me, but they did.
Alabama fans travel. They'll be here.
Do they travel or are they just everywhere? Is it like Cowboys fans?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
They got to come down from Pigeon
Forge. A little bit of both.
Kodak.
Kodak, dude. Kodak.
Come down from Kodak.
Come it's a little bit of both, game. Though. Like, I know a lot of people who are, some of my closest friends
they
are Alabama
fans. They were Tennessee fans, and they turned
around. No, they've always been Alabama fans, and it's so sad. But, they travel pretty strong, I feel like. I've always seen
it won't
a
be
nice
a takeover.
Turnout. No, not necessarily a takeover.
Probably 10,000.
It'll be a good amount. It'll be a good 10, amount.
15,000, especially
and they'll piss you off.
Sale.
They'll piss you off. I mean, they'll piss you off. They're Alabama fans.
They'll smoke cigars.
Get the hell out of
here. After the game.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah, it'll be the worst.
But there was a crazy experience with the 2008 game, where there were literally 45,000 Alabama fans in the stands. And I was like, holy hell, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool at the same time.
Are you an Alabama fan, Trey? Since that's what it's sounding like.
No, I'm not.
The plot.
It was pretty cool.
No, when it was
Alabama
neat.
Had half of the crowd. Yeah, it was cool.
Look, I look at
you're
it
an Alabama native.
I look shut
oh,
up.
Man.
Don't start
that. Oh no.
I look at it as a college football purist.
Okay.
It was kind of neat seeing an opposing fan base take over a stadium. Okay. Same instance.
I've seen Georgia, Florida do that before.
Georgia taking over Notre Dame last year.
Yeah, I've seen Florida.
That was neat.
That was pretty cool.
Like for some odd reason, that was pretty cool.
They traveled hard for that.
So get off of me. I mean,
Georgia fans were paying like $2,500 a ticket to go to that game.
My dad was so mad last weekend. Plane ticket. You know, I could tell he was upset. You know, his two youngest sons, you know, they're wearing their Auburn shirts. His daughter-in-law, Auburn shirt. And then his wife, my mother, decided to go against Tennessee and wear an Auburn shirt as well just to please her kids.
Oh.
And he's the only one rocking Tennessee in the Tennessee section. Like, I just felt horrible for him. And I was like, you know, before I went to the press box and everything, I was like, Dad, man, have a good game, dude. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Now, my uncle was with him, and he, you know, he's a Tennessee fan, but he was, you know, it was hostile. The family, you know, and then here's the thing. And I know she's
what's
not,
the thing? Here,
I know she's not listening.
What's the thing?
I know she's not listening because my sister-in-law does not listen to my show. But I will say this. She told my uncle after the game, I swear if anybody is talking crap to my father when he comes visits about Tennessee beating Auburn, he is going to be so mad. It's like she didn't say that to me. Like she said it to, you know, my uncle.
And did
it's
you say like, anything?
No, it's like, why would I say anything? Like I'm just covering the game. Like I you know there's no but my dad, yeah, he was excited. You know what I mean? It was, you know, it was cool seeing it was neat seeing my father and my uncle enjoy a Tennessee football game.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. And I'm sure that feeling was all around Knoxville and all around all Tennessee fans. And the last thing I'll say is that when I took video, I knew the moment I was videoing. When everybody was going crazy in the Tennessee section at Auburn, I knew in that moment I'm capturing history because it's been so long since Tennessee was able to celebrate like that.
You should have had like some Smallest Violin music going there or something. That would have been
Titanic
really
Titanic theme.
Yeah, the Titanic.
It was
you
neat.
You ended on a really good dramatic. I just know.
You just knew it was something
history.
Special.
History.
So it was thanks, JT Dirty Bird, Bama fan noted now. I'm telling
Bama
you,
fan noted, huh?
Y'all are starting that. Okay, that's cool.
Hey,
I just asked.
There's only one Alabama fan that I care if they show up.
I'm
Great White Buffalo.
The Great White Buffalo.
Okay.
Have you seen her?
No, we haven't seen her, but what we have seen is the lineup that says Nick Bromberg joins us next. So we'll take a break. Bromberg from Yahoo Sports. We're talking national college football. Probably throwing a little silly season of NASCAR. I'll explain to Chance what that is during the break. It's optional.
That was really
Fox Sports Knoxville.
Break.
It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Chance to my right. Brandon in front.
And finally, the peppers are not affecting me.
The peppers are not affecting
nah,
Chance.
Nah, dude, I'm great now. I'm perfect.
Which is good.
Yeah, because we got a great guest.
Absolutely. My man covers college football, covers NASCAR, pretty much covers anything, and his takes usually get a lot of great responses on Twitter as well. Nick Bromberg from Yahoo joins us. Nick, what up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I think, you know, eating hot peppers may be a better way to spend 3.5 hours Saturday afternoon than watching Alabama do bad things to Tennessee. Maybe I'm wrong, and it'll turn out like the Auburn game, but I think that's going to be kind of a disaster, as every Alabama game has been for every Alabama opponent so far.
I totally agree with you. It'll be worth it. definitely instead of going there.
I mean, Nick, look, Tennessee pulls off something they haven't done in a long time last week, and their offense comes out, and it's like, well, holy crap, where has this been? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, against a decent Auburn secondary and defensive line as well. You know, let's start on that. Since you referenced it, this game Saturday, can Tennessee, if Tua does not play Saturday, which I think in a way Nick Saban's being coy this week about Tua, and I think he's actually more hurt than they're letting on. Can Tennessee keep this under 29 points?
You know what? I was very adamant that Missouri was not going to keep it under 29 points. They kept it right at 29 points.
Right.
If Tua doesn't play, without a doubt, I think that dimension from the Alabama offense is gone without Tua. And you look at someone just like Jeremy Pruitt, who knows exactly what Alabama's offense can give you with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And I know the receivers that Alabama has are far better than the guys, minus Calvin Ridley, that were on the roster the last couple years. But, you know, Hurts made a couple downfield throws against Missouri when he replaced Tua, but that dimension, you're not going to see, you know, the second play of the game going deep for a touchdown like Alabama's done two or three times this season. It's just simply not going to happen. But, yeah, I think so. With Tua, no, without a doubt, no. But, you know, I look at this now after watching most of that Tennessee game and watching most of the Alabama game, you're going to lose to Alabama, fine. But now you have to think that South Carolina game is in play, because I'm not sure what to think about South Carolina at this point. I thought they were going to give A&M a little bit better game than they did until that fourth quarter comeback. And, you know, Tennessee, you're riding a wave of confidence. I mean, going into Auburn, I know Auburn is struggling. They can't run the football. They're just a mess up front right now offensively. But that's a huge confidence boost, because now you don't sit there and say, hey, it's been almost 2 years since we last won an SEC game.
Well, also, I think it plays in the factor, too, and you mentioned it, that the rest of the way, the games are winnable for Tennessee besides Bama. You know, you play Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, they'll get the win against Charlotte. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, Tennessee actually has a path to like 7-5 this year.
There's a bowl game in their sights, because, you know, I've watched a lot of Missouri football being in Kansas City, and the best way to describe Kentucky, I think we all know, is overachieving compared to preseason expectations for all of us. I think, quite honestly, this is going to sound weird, I think, quite honestly, Missouri is a top 25 team on paper. When you look at, they've got the quarterback, they've got the receivers, on paper they are. They do not play like a top 25 team. I've never, the amount of mistakes that team has made, self-inflicted in that loss to South Carolina, the way that they lost to Georgia even, you look at this and go, okay, yeah, no, not even close. You're playing for 6-6, 7-5 at this point. And so, you know, the East is just, it's a nice muddled mess. And I would put, boy, I would put South Carolina in that conversation too, where you have a separation right now at the top of Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida. I think you can make a significant argument on the heels, with recency bias involved, on the heels of this Tennessee game, of there's no clear order of 4-7 right now.
Let me ask you a follow-up quick question to this past weekend at Auburn. And I talked to a lot of people down there, and I want to get their take on the program, the president, the athletic director. And a lot of people are pissed off at the president for signing Gus to this huge contract with, really, when Jay Jacobs had no firing or hiring or any kind of power. He was just lame duck at Auburn when this went down. Is there a possibility in your eyes, and there's been a lot of chatter from a couple writers down at Auburn, is there a possibility that Gus could be bought out in some way after this year if they lose to, let's say they lose to Ole Miss this weekend and maybe lose two more down the road to Auburn, I mean to Alabama, LSU, or A&M?
I've learned to never say never when it comes to that. I would still put the chances of it happening in very slim. But I'll say this, with that, whether it's $32 or $38 million buyout, whatever it ends up being, if on the slim chance it happens, I think we are absolutely looking at a complete upheaval in the way college football coaching contracts are structured and in the way we're going to start viewing college football coaching the hot seat and however we want to have frame these discussions going forward, because it's going to be absolutely unprecedented, crazy, whatever hyperbole you want to use, because I think it would fit in this case, of paying a $30 million to get rid of a guy. And that also then brings up the question of, too, which I think Auburn has to seriously consider in all of this. If you fire Gus Malzahn, who are you going to go get? There is not one person right now out there on the coaching market, or even from a group of five. I really like, for example, I really like Scott Satterfield. What he's doing at App State, we had him number one this week on our list of the five underrated teams in the country. They took Penn State to the wire. They have blown out every single opponent they've played since. And they're supposed to do that. They're in the Sun Belt. But Auburn's not going to go hire a Sun Belt coach after spending over $30 million to get rid of Gus Malzahn. There's no, you look at this, there's no real clear path to saying, well, if we get rid of Gus, we're going to go hire this guy. And I don't think Auburn wants to go down that road, because then I don't think anything can replicate the Tennessee coaching circus, but you're looking at a potential coaching circus if you go do that.
Staying in the SEC, Nick, that Mississippi State traveling to Death Valley, that's just a game that's really, I've got my eyes set on. Joe Burrow, pretty good game last week. That offense is playing much better. Defense is playing top notch. Can Mississippi State find a way to take down LSU in that hostile crowd, maybe catch them slipping, looking ahead to Alabama, thinking about playoff implications now? What are your thoughts heading into this one?
You know, I'm not going to put it past Mississippi State to at least keep this game very close. You almost have to wonder, is Les Miles still coaching at LSU based on Joe Burrow has played well, as you're right. You know, he's made the right throws when he's needed to. But in the overall, when you go back and look at the box score, it's quite underwhelming. I think he's, in those three big wins LSU's had this year, he's completed basically at or below 50% of his passes. I mean, this is a game where, we're joking about this earlier today, this is a game where Mississippi State, and with Nick Fitzgerald at quarterback and Joe Burrow, you're probably going to have teams that run the ball 40 times each. And this is going to be one of those, if you're looking for a sub-3-hour SEC football game, this may be it, because the clock is going to run and run and run. Fitzgerald, I think he has his receivers have the number one drop rate in the SEC. He has not taken that step forward as a passer that I think a lot of us expected him to this year. That being said, when he's humming on the ground, especially with Kylan Hill, that's a fun offense to watch. If LSU does a good job, just like they did last week against Georgia, because Georgia looked like scared to run the ball at some time. It was bizarre how often they put the ball in Fromm's hands compared to just letting DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield run the ball. So if LSU takes away the run game from Mississippi State, this is going to be a blowout. If they don't, and Moorhead's offense can figure out a way to run the ball, this could be an entertaining game in the third and fourth quarter.
Looking at outside, we'll step away from the SEC just a little bit. Interesting to see what are your thoughts on Oklahoma. Oklahoma's playing TCU. They've got to go on the road. They got a noon kickoff. They're playing kind of in the – they kind of – on their own destiny if they can win out. Still a lot of tough games for them. TCU still won, and TCU's been a little bit underwhelming this season. Am I right?
Yes, no, they have. This is a TCU team. They were the Thursday night game last week, and then I think committed three or four turnovers in that home loss to Texas Tech. And it's going to be a very interesting test for Ruffin McNeil in his first game as Oklahoma defensive coordinator after Stoops was fired. Because you're sitting here now, you're going playing a TCU team that's got a lot of talent on offense. I think Sean Robinson, he makes a couple dumb decisions every game, but he also makes a couple plays where you go, yeah, he's got some legit talent. They've got Kevontae Turpin on offense. This is an offense, as we saw against Ohio State, can put up points in a hurry, but then it can also make some boneheaded mistakes and put themselves in a hole. So if Oklahoma forces a couple turnovers, I like their chances. But TCU, they did it a couple of years ago with a backup quarterback, kept it close against Oklahoma. This is a game where it would be very Big 12 for TCU to go out and win this football game, simply because the Big 12 right now, with West Virginia going down against Iowa State, it's an absolute mess. I think this could be the year where the disaster scenario plays out, where you're going to have a one-loss, let's just say, Texas team, and maybe a two-loss Oklahoma team, or flip-flop it, however you want to do it. And then the team with two losses beats the team with one loss in the conference championship game. And then the Big 12's decision to have a conference championship game for college playoff purposes ends up backfiring and knocks the conference out of the playoff altogether.
All right, Nick, there's a game Saturday that Fox is just absolutely blowing up the doors with when it comes to advertising. They're going to try to fix in with the, you know, they even had Smoltz talk about it last night, Michigan State. I mean, they're blowing this game up like it's the Rose Bowl. Like, they're putting all their eggs into the advertising for this, which is kind of interesting to me. What is your – if Harbaugh don't win this game on Saturday, man – Nick, are we in a different dimension with Jim? Do things just change on a dime if they go to 4-2 Saturday, if they can't beat Michigan State?
8-4 becomes very likely if they don't meet Michigan State. And, you know, that the advertising for that game is quite funny because there's a reason this game is at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or 11 o'clock Central, noon kick. It's because we all thought Michigan State was a hot dumpster fire after they lost at home to Northwestern.
Right.
And then, you know, we are basically a touchdown with 19 seconds left, I think it was, away from this game being the game of the week to, who cares, Michigan State's terrible. So, how things can change in the span of a week. But, you know, Mark D'Antonio, they play really well against top 10 teams. For whatever reason, Michigan State goes at either play the top 10 team close or beats them outright. They actually, I think, end up beating some stat like Mark D'Antonio is 10-5 in his last 15 matchups against top 10 teams. That's unfathomable to think about. And so Michigan State goes and pulls this off. We're suddenly looking at a pretty underwhelming at this point Michigan State team, the early part of the season, becoming the team for Ohio State. And, you know, Michigan, they look really, really good against Wisconsin. I think that will continue even though they're going on the road. But again, you look at this and say, well, you lose to Michigan State, now you could potentially lose to Penn State, and then you still have that game against Columbus. And I know Michigan's schedule one of the toughest in the country entering the season, but the natives are not going to be happy if this turns into a 9-3 or 8-4 season. This has to be a 10-2 or even better than that.
Let me ask you something about programming, Nick, before I ask you two NASCAR questions and we'll let you go. Saturday night on ABC, they're showing Ohio State and Purdue. Well, here's kind of my point here when I get to this. ABC and ESPN are Disney entities. They have the right if they want to, and maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but I would think they have the right if they want to show an SEC game. That's what I'm asking you. So they would not have the right to show an LSU-Mississippi State game that CBS passed up? Is that how it plays out?
Yeah, no, ESPN. So ESPN, my understanding, if ESPN gets the first choice either two or three times a year over CBS for that either 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock Eastern, I'm sorry, I'm on Central Time, 7 or 9:15 slot that they sometimes do.
Right.
For the prime time, but they can't move any of those games from ESPN and ESPN2 to ABC. The reason I believe that Ohio State Purdue has been selected for this game is obviously we knew that, again, like we just said, Michigan State was not very good until they beat Penn State. But what really hurts is that's either, you know, typically an ACC game, a Big 12 game, or a Big 10 game in that ABC time slot. Well, there are two games in the Big 10 or the Big 12 this weekend, and the ACC, it's simply Clemson, NC State, and that game,
right.
That game's at 3:30 Eastern. So, if there would be five games in the Big 12, then I think we're looking probably at a Big 12 game in that spot. But since there's so many teams on bye this week, and the slate is relatively barren aside from the top three or four games this week, that's why we're stuck with Ohio State Purdue on ABC.
I think it's hilarious because game day is going out there and they're going to promote the hell out of the Oregon-Washington State game. And look, they do this a couple times with like the Alabama-LSU game in the past. They've done this, and I understand it. You know, CBS gets first rights, and I get that part. But, I mean, they're literally promoting a game that's on an opposite network the same time they're showing a primetime game. So that – it kind of blows my mind that they go about doing stuff like that in the advertising day and age that we're in. But,
Ohio State is always one of the top five teams that draws on TV. And, you know, also, too, I will give the networks credit. There's been already a couple times this year where if you're a college football fan, you were pretty screwed if you wanted to watch the good games, because we've had a lot of times where all the good games have been on at once.
True.
And this weekend, Michigan State's early. Then you've got, you can flip away from Alabama, Tennessee if you'd like, and you can watch NC State and Clemson. Then you can watch Mississippi State and LSU in the evening, flip back and forth between that and Oregon, Washington State. Nice and spread out this week. As somebody who has to watch a lot of football, I highly, highly appreciate that.
Okay, so Sunday, what happens at Kansas, man? We saw last week Kurt Busch coming out of turn four. All right, he's got the win. Nope, he runs out of gas, and Amarola gets it. The championship chase is crazy. Kyle Larson docked points. But now things are going to start to pick up over the next couple weeks, too. When it comes to silly season and who's going to move around to where, and what's your take you think might be the next move when it comes to a guy switching teams? Is it Suarez or the 41?
That seems like it's going to be inevitable at this point. It just seems, again, like we talked about earlier, the marriage of convenience just hasn't been announced yet. And also, too, we keep forgetting Truex to Joe Gibbs Racing still has not been officially announced yet. We're all acting like it's all said and done because...
Would he go to SHR?
I mean, it sounds like there was some initial discussion, but after that, it sounded like it was Bass Pro, the Toyota connection. So we all think that's done, but it still hasn't been officially announced. When it comes to the race on Sunday, keep an eye on Truex. He's only 18 points clear Keselowski, but the Penske guys haven't had that winning speed at intermediate tracks. If Kez swipes a win to knock somebody out and get himself into the third round, it's going to be via pit strategy, I think, like he did at Indy and Darlington and Vegas. But if you look at this, just keep an eye on Truex. But he's had a couple issues at Kansas before. If they get caught up in a random wreck like they did at Dover or Talladega, you know, he could find himself on the way out. But I'm not going to be surprised when we're all said and done. You know, it's Keselowski, Blaney, Larson, and Bowman on the outside looking in. Given the way the points look right now, I'm not going to be surprised if that top eight, or those got four guys, the same four guys that are out after Sunday.
I bet you're following that Patricia Driscoll case very closely, aren't you? Up in Washington.
that was one of the craziest stories in NASCAR when she first started dating Kurt Busch.
I had to tell my guys about this, yeah.
It's one of those things where when life is truly stranger than fiction, this is it, and so yes, I am very fascinated to see how this trial plays out, and if she's found guilty, what the consequences are going to be.
CIA assassins running around NASCAR infield just when you thought you've heard it all.
And yeah, the dress and the dress and the fight at the airport.
I would
go read Seth Wickersham's account on the Driscoll Bush saga, because it's just it's one of those things you can reread three times and you catch something new every single time.
That's fantastic. Nick, tell everybody where they can follow you, all your fantastic writing and your fantastic tweets and replies you get.
At Nick Bromberg on Twitter, sports.yahoo.com for football and NASCAR. And since the race is in my backyard this weekend, I will be at the track on Friday and Sunday and then paying attention to the wonderful world of college football on Saturday. So it should be a fantastic weekend, one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Well, you make sure just to go behind my cousin, just give him a big old bear hug and just say hello and it came from Trey, okay?
I will do that. I'll find him on pit road this week.
That's fantastic. Have a good weekend, Nick. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me as always.
All right, brother. Thank you. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Fantastic interview. Knows his stuff. Used to run the Dr. Saturday account.
Good stuff.
For Yahoo. And he's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was in Kansas this weekend with Bubba Doo.
But, is that how you guys feel when I go, like, full geek out on NBA? Because, like, he lost me on, like, the saga and the drama. I didn't even know you could have drama in NASCAR besides
– Hell, yeah, there's
besides
drama.
Guys and country boys trying to fight each other in the pit row every now and again.
Kurt Busch's girlfriend, I told you this, but she was walking around telling everybody she works for the CIA. And it was some drama. Like, he got suspended.
Is it still his girlfriend?
Hell no. She's on trial. She's going to go to jail a while. She was the head chair for
I was going to say, if it was still his girlfriend, then you know why. She was the head chair
for American Veterans Foundation. She was stealing money.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a sleazy dirtbag.
She was more than just crazy.
Crazy. Great song, like Brandon, taking girls. Us out. It's optional. I think we're still on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. I feel like I'm tripping out listening to this song whenever he plays it. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Don't forget, head down to Corner 16 Pub. Here in about 15 minutes, Russell, Bear, Brandon, they'll be down there live.
Well, they're already there now. You can head on down there now. Say what's up. Get a chance to talk to them before they get going.
Right. Go have a beer. Hang out with them. Don't drink and drive.
Get some grub.
Hang out. Enjoy their college football banner or whatever they're talking about today. It should be a good time. Corner 16 Pub down in West Knoxville. Brandon, it's 2:45. It's that time. I want to hear if you can stump me today.
Is it time?
It's time for the news.
Is it time?
Of the Life day.
Pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while.
It's the best time of the show.
All right. Starting off today, October 18th is National Chocolate Cupcake Day.
What?
So, anyone participating out there?
Chocolate cupcakes.
For somebody to make me some chocolate cupcakes. I will gladly take them.
Also,
is she listening right now?
Even better.
She's listening.
Okay.
National No Beard Day is today.
National Beard.
National No Beard Day, Trey.
I guess you know what that means, Trey.
Are you going to cut off my beard?
Hey,
chop it off.
It's the holiday season, you know? National No Beard Day.
Come on, dude. Don't be a pooper.
Okay, I'll go chop it off when I get home with my post picture tonight.
All right. Also, tonight, Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros. First pitch, 8:09, TBS.
God.
Red Sox look to close out the series and go to another World Series. It's like they're
the Dodgers aren't playing tonight. Why the hell are they playing at 8 o'clock?
Get them primetime game.
Whatever. All right.
Couple news stories we already hit on. G League president offers professional path for one-and-done players. As we mentioned, $40,000 to $125,000 a year to forgo playing in college at all.
I like it.
Big fan. Also, this is probably my favorite story I've seen all day today. Arizona man, 62, fell into a mine shaft, broke bones, but killed three rattlesnakes before being rescued days later.
That's a man! That's a man!
What?
That's a man right there! That's a man, though, for real. That's a man.
He fought off three rattlesnakes.
In the
mine shaft with broken legs.
I do not want to find that guy.
I do not believe that story.
You don't believe it?
They had to rescue him from the bottom of the mine shaft.
I believe that he fell to the bottom of the mine shaft, but then he made up the "I wrestled three rattlesnakes."
You don't think they found the three dead rattlesnakes down there?
They probably found the rattlesnakes, Trey.
Okay, good. Okay, if that's the case, then cool. If not, he just told him, "Hey, I killed three rattlesnakes as well."
It's not like this guy crawled back into civilization and was like, "Hey, this is what happened
it's not
to
like
me."
He climbed
they
out
had
there.
To
he
go
was,
get
he
him from down there.
He wasn't sitting at the local watering hole like, "Hey, y'all, this one time."
He had to climb out of the thing like
they had to rescue him.
The
they had to go
night,
down there.
Dark Knight Rises where he climbs out.
You never believe what happened to me down there. I fought off three rattlesnakes, man.
Damn.
Oh, my.
Killing rattlesnakes out there in Arizona land. Look at him.
All right,
what
sorry.
A stud.
Sorry to the rattlesnake, dude.
The and rattlesnake killer.
This day in history.
Okay, here we go.
1867.
Yep.
The United States formally took possession of Alaska, buying it from Russia for $7.2 million.
Don't forget, Sarah Palin, she can see Russia from her back porch.
$7.2 million. And Mega Millions is at like 868.
Woo! No,
so
it's 997,000.
Well,
million.
In that case, you could buy a lot of Alaskas in 1867 if you want.
A lot of Alaskas.
A lot of Alaskas.
I will go buy a city if I win the lottery. I'll rename that city as well. You can do that. Just go to small podunk towns and
seems like
buy
a poor
city.
Investment.
Buy
the
city. No, it's not. Not if you can just name it after yourself.
I would rather buy the rights to, like, the Titans Stadium.
Welcome
It'd
to
be
Trayville.
Brandon's Stadium. I mean, That's Nissan true. Signed a deal with them for, like, $30 million for 6 years.
You could go probably buy...
I'd drop $6 million a year, $5 million a year.
You could buy the naming rights to Neyland.
I don't think they'd ever sell that. If they did,
no
poor decision on their part, because I would 100% buy it.
Anything for a dollar. All right, what else you got? What
You'll day? Do anything for a dollar?
No, keep going.
I was so lost.
Also, this day in history, 1977, right. Mr. October himself, Reggie Jackson, hit three home runs off three consecutive pitches from three different pitchers.
God,
in the World Series against the Dodgers. So,
such a fantastic
He didn't waste any time. He just got up there, starts hacking. 1988, Roseanne debuted.
Roseanne.
In 2018, Roseanne died.
And in 1968.
Literally, on the show.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono were arrested for drug possession.
Really?
At their home near Montague Square in London.
They got them at their home?
Yeah.
What'd they have? Some weed?
I have no idea. I gotta find that.
Some like acid or opium back in the
days. I mean, it was John Lennon.
It was some weird stuff. Let's be honest.
200 grams of hashish.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of hash.
Even in 1968, excuse me, they're still getting kicked down your door for that.
That's a lot of hash.
Somebody ratted on a beetle.
That's right. I mean,
what is, yeah, how could you do that?
Snitches on a beetle.
Sure, he would have shared with them.
It was probably a disgruntled beetle who was not allowed to partake. My bet is Ringo.
I mean, it could have been. R.I.P. Lennon. Whatever.
But yeah.
Is that it?
Well, I mean, what do you mean, is that it? Like, that's like five things.
No, I mean, like, what have you, like, news of the day from, like, the late 80s or the 90s or...
It sounded like you were kind of, you know, is that it? That was a little rude.
No, it wasn't rude. No, I was
Thomas Edison died in 1931.
There we go.
Is that what you were waiting for?
For $2, Brandon. Tommy, what did Edison. Thomas Edison invent?
The incandescent light bulb.
Yep, I was thinking of a couple other things. That's not it. Sorry.
If you ever asked you on kinda, trivia, you what did Thomas Brandon, Edison invent?
You rained on Brandon's News of the Day.
No, yeah, I never do that to Brandon.
I know,
News of the Day.
I know they were upset at you earlier, but that's no reason to take
Brandon,
it out on me and Chance.
I love your News of the Day. I'm not raining on your parade. I thought it was
you
great News
did
of the Day.
I'm kind of feeling like Eeyore with the storm cloud just hovering over me right now.
Liking this double team pickup. Picking on me.
Double
this,
team
this
pickup.
This ain't happening.
The double team pickup.
I'm not Bear.
The double team.
Yeah, just pick
up.
On people. I will shut this show down.
He'll shut it down. He'll shut
What's
it
that?
Down.
Well, you can. Oh,
cut
my mic off.
Cut your mic. He's getting smart. That's what you do.
I am the captain now.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain.
Oh, look behind us on TV, and it says Floyd Mayweather expresses interest in fighting Khabib, McGregor, and Canelo.
I did see where Khabib
just have a battle royal.
Khabib that would be awesome.
I did see like something. I guess that came out this week that Khabib wanted to. I guess now fight Floyd.
Man, that's such bull.
That's just the UFC and Floyd got a they got a deal. Like
Khabib's not a boxer. The reason he beat McGregor is he took him down and choked him out.
I think
out
he
or
would
whatever.
Destroy him on his feet.
You think Floyd Mayweather would get destroyed by Khabib?
On his feet.
No way. Floyd Mayweather could tie both his hands behind his back and dodge until Khabib.
I just
want to
see Floyd Mayweather tap out.
Well...
He's not going to fight in the octagon.
Yeah, he would lose to McGregor in the octagon,
he'd
too.
He'd lose to a lot of people in the octagon.
He just had to beat the Big Show at WrestleMania years ago. And just they just had to play it that way, right?
That's what they have to do.
It is what it is, right?
If you're mad that he beat the Big Show at WrestleMania, you'd really need to just get on to the writers who wrote that into the script.
It's still real, man. It's still real. Y'all ain't ever seen that video?
I have
wrestling
not.
Wrestling fan or something. Some old NWA type thing.
I stopped watching wrestling a while ago. I don't want to get on the wrestling fans, but I stopped watching, I guess, a while ago.
It's entertaining.
I watch the big shows.
I'm not saying it's not entertaining. I know that our Knox County mayor is still like going to wrestling and like overseas soon.
That's right.
Paid like $4 million to do it.
Yeah, Glenn Jacobs is going to be wrestling overseas.
In Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, that's where it's at. Exactly.
It seems like a safe place for journalists to visit.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to go there. I didn't want to go there.
Woo!
I'm going there.
Staying current.
I know you are. That's why I thought they should have got out of it, but that's not my place. And
so I guess you're not going to go over there with them to interview.
To cover it.
I'm not going to cover it.
Rough place for journalists.
I'm not going to go cover it. Well, I mean, hey, let's talk some SEC football over here. You know, how about it?
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Congratulations to the Women's World Cup team. They clinched the World Cup bid.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations.
At least they can do it.
Chance.
The men cannot.
Chance's Bulls play tonight, folks.
That's right.
They're playing tonight.
It is officially.
I'm going to watch an NBA game tonight.
NBA season for me. The Bulls are back in action.
Just so I can talk NBA tomorrow with Chance, I will know who the leading scorer is.
Of course.
For Chance, for Brandon, I'm Trey. Tomorrow we're going to wrap this week up at Tennessee-Alabama weekend.
Headed up
to you guys be blessed. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.